And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary came to the tomb. Jesus had been crucified, and this was now the third day, and Mary came to the tomb. She was compelled to be there, to go to where his body lay, to somehow be close to him, to feel close to him. This wise teacher, this compassionate healer, this courageous prophet, whom she believed, along with everyone else, that he was now dead. Visiting a grave, especially soon after a death, is of course very common even today in our own culture. It is a way to continue to feel a connection to those who have died. Earlier this week on CBC Radio, there was an interview with a death doula or death midwife, a woman who works with those who are dying and their families. She spoke about how many families are choosing home deaths, and some are even choosing to be more involved with the care of the body after death. A way, she suggested, of allowing the reality of death to sink in, but also to tend to the relationship with the deceased that occurs and continues after death. Many of you know that I entered into this Holy Week attending the death of a dear family member, my mother-in-law, Clara. Even as we kept vigil the days before her death, I found myself thinking about this sermon and what on earth I would say about Easter this year. We knew about a week before she died that it was inevitable, and in many ways, we also knew it would bring an end to her pain and suffering. During those last days, she was mostly unresponsive, and even so, we were compelled to be there, to witness, to feel connected to her, even as she could not communicate to us in the usual way. I found myself wondering why that is. Why is it we are so drawn to be there with our loved ones as they are dying, and to visit their resting places after they are gone? Naturally, this compulsion is rooted in our love for the dying or deceased. We want to hold on. We want to maintain the connection we have known. We are deeply attached, and our attachment runs very deep, drawing us to be near, to keep vigil with the dying, and to return to their resting place to feel that connection again. So, of course, it is understandable that Mary is there that morning, on the third day, to visit the tomb. And her visiting of Jesus' tomb does not go as one might expect, for the stone is rolled away. In her confusion and her grief, she stands there weeping, and then she hears a voice. There's something I've always found strange about this reading from John's Gospel, for this is the part we are told that Mary turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" We are then told that Mary thought he was the gardener. I thought it a bit odd that Mary wouldn't recognize Jesus and think him to be the gardener. But most often we interpret this to mean that there's something radically changed about Jesus after the resurrection. But what seems odder to me is that Jesus appears not to recognize Mary. He calls her woman. It isn't until he says her name that she recognizes him. Perhaps Jesus was purposefully being obscure. Perhaps he himself wasn't ready to be recognized in this way. What follows in the passage is a bit clearer. And Jesus says to her, "Do not hold on to me." He is creating distance between the connection that they shared. He immediately makes reference to the fact that he will be ascending to the Father. What becomes clear from this encounter is that the resurrection is not a return to life as we knew it. This is a new life, a new way of being, and a new way for Mary and for all the disciples to connect to Jesus. And the entry into this new life involves, first of all, a letting go. Letting go of what was, letting go of the way it was, letting go of the attachment that fostered a desire to cling, to hold on. For you see, attachment can also be more than just a strong bond. Attachment can be when we focus more on ourselves, holding on to the other for what they can do for us, for how they can make us feel, for what we hope from them in order that we will feel loved and cared for. Love ultimately is only genuine when it focuses on the well-being of the other without being overshadowed by the need of the self. Holding on is about the self. Letting go is about giving space for the other. And ultimately, letting go is about trust. Letting go is that even when we don't see what new path will be before us, we can trust there will be one. And so in letting go of Jesus, Mary was able to see and understand in a new way. And so she left Jesus there, and she went and told the disciples what she had seen. She then becomes the first to preach the resurrection story. Throughout his ministry, Jesus taught most often in an indirect fashion, through stories and parables, through healings, through spending time with those who are on the margins of society. He also taught as a role model, showing us how to live by how he lived and loved. St. Paul will describe Jesus as one who emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Jesus let go of something in order to live as he did. Jesus also struggled with the holding on. As he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, take this cup from me." And yet, even as he did so, he also prayed, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." And then finally on the cross, he let go completely. "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." We enter into this Easter day perhaps thinking the cross is now behind us, and we can get back to life as we knew it. But both for that first Easter and for this Easter day today, life as we knew it is no more. We are called into a new life. And we are still called to let go of what we have clung to, what we still might be clinging to, in order that we might fully realize this new life towards which God is bringing us. And so ultimately, on this Easter day, we are called to trust, to have faith that we can let go of all we hold on to and still find ourselves held in the hands of God. We can move beyond believing only what we can see and touch, entrusting our lives to the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We are invited into a whole new way of life that sees possibility of new life in every death and sees hope in the midst of every despair. It is not an easy path. At the end of the day, it takes something of a leap for us to really entrust our lives to the kind of hope that God awakened in the resurrection of Jesus that first Easter morning. And when we take that leap of faith, when we let go of what we have been attached to, it can be frightening because we are taking a risk and it makes us vulnerable. But that is how we open ourselves to the new life that God brings. In letting go, we find ourselves moving from a life that we have to manage and control into the arms of a God who continually offers us new, abundant, and resurrected life. Thanks be to God.